Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about God's love. So we have been focusing on the great commandment. Jesus called it the first commandment and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on the computer or download them on whatever device works for you to be able to listen to them at your leisure. Simplest thing you could do is just to get our Renewal Ministries app. It'll give you direct access to all of my programs, Sister Ann's programs, our television shows. Many of our talks from our gatherings or conferences are available there. There's lots of free material there, inspiring talks, our monthly newsletter. Take a look at the monthly newsletter if you haven't. I think you'd be very encouraged by it. And I'd ask you to just, as I've been doing conferences this summer and traveling around, it's been encouraging to meet some of you and to hear the encouraging words that you're listening to the program. I love the fact that you're listening to the program. But also, I'd ask you to pray. Pray for the continued spread of Fire on the Earth and Food for the Journey and the messages that come through Ave Maria Radio, so that the gospel and the encouraging word and the truth of the gospel can strengthen, can lift and bring consolation and hope to many, many people. So spread the word if you're a listener. Tell people to tune in and tell them the program's on early in the morning, so most people are not up at this time of day ready to listen to it. But if you have it on your app, if you've got a computer, you can have access to it. You can listen to it anytime you want. So anyway, let's continue to talk about the love of God. We're going through chapter 8 of Romans right now, echoing what we talked about earlier in the week, which was the words of Jesus himself and the words of Moses, and talking about how the Father has put, is working in this, in salvation history, in his story, in his narrative, is to realign us with the fundamental purpose for which we're made, which means to bear the image of God. And who is God? God is love. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity lived in total, radical, unconditional, almost unspeakably beautiful love. How do you even describe it? It's almost impossible for us to know. But what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him, we're literally coming into that through the work of Jesus, through his life, passion, death, and resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, being born again by water and the Spirit, becoming a new creation. The whole purpose of life is to be drawn into this relationship. And we're in a battle to lay hold of it and to yield to it and to walk in it. As Jesus said, to abide in it. That means to think about it, talk about it, pray about it, yearn for it, long for it, make it the centerpiece of your life, make it your life goal, your number one passion, to love God. I want to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the number one goal of my life. And he's given me the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 8 so beautifully, so eloquently. And he's describing for us what the Spirit is doing in us to make it possible for us to live with the experience, not just the head knowledge, but the lived experience of being a child of God and walking in the footsteps of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I left off yesterday in verse 5, where St. Paul said, chapter 8, verse 5 of Romans, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." We can really relate to this. What's he talking about? He's talking about all the ego-centered life that we have. Like, how often is my mind set, is your mind set on getting what you want in life? You know, what you want to possess, what you want to have, what you want to feel, what you want to experience, who you want to be with, all of that. What your personal goals are for to become famous, to become successful, all these things. We're constantly set on them. And some of them are good and some of them aren't good. The fallen dimension of it is when we circle it all around our ego. And it's about me controlling and ensuring that in my life, I'm going to be able to gain the accomplishments and the recognition and the applause and the rest of it that I really want to go after. There's a dimension of us that is constantly pulling us in that direction. And our minds are set in it. Think about how often our mind is churning, you know, thinking about one thing after another, after another, my mind can be preoccupied with myself and the satisfaction of myself and the satisfaction of my desires. Right? But Paul goes on to say, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Paul will say later, I think in Colossians, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's another way of expressing what Jesus said in John's Gospel when he said, abide in my love, live on in my love. I was thinking earlier today, looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, where verse 4, where Moses gives the great commandment, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then he goes on to say, put this upon your heart. Teach it diligently to your children. Talk about it when you sit down in the house, he said, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're rising. Put a sign on your hand and on your forehead. Put it on your doorpost. He's saying, speaking with such urgency, let this be the central conversation of your life. This is the most important thing. I mean, I know there's a million other conversations going on, or a billion other conversations going on around the world every day, and there's things that need to be talked about. But just think about the amount of trivial conversation that goes on day and night, day and night, day and night. And when Jesus said, abide in me and live on in my love, he's just echoing here what's being talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Keep it in your heart. Cherish it. Listen to the Holy Spirit at work in you. Teach it diligently to your children. Talk about the love of God with your children. Teach them about who God is and the importance of what love is. And try to model it and draw them into it and have it be a passion of your entire family. Talk about it when you're sitting down in your house, when you're walking. I love this. You know, when you're lying down, when you're rising, really covering the whole landscape of our life. Keep this central. Let this be the compass. And I began the week by talking about how much the Mass, the Eucharist, is for the people of God. You know, it's the gathering. God the Father's gathering people from every tribe and nation around his Son, and Jesus is gathering them for the Father to be united to his sacrifice so we can make an offering of our lives united to the perfect offering Jesus made of love to the Father, and he can draw us into it, and it teaches us. He feeds us, and he convinces us that this is what matters most. This is what's of greatest value. This is gold, pure gold, and this is what ought to define us. And in the end, this will be the determiner of whether my life was a success or not. It's this commandment. It's living this out. It's not the size of my wallet, not the size of my business, you know, not the size of my achievements. The fundamental question when we get to heaven will be, did you love? And what I love about this is everybody, I don't care how rich, how poor, how educated, how lacking in education, how many handicaps, physical, otherwise, that we might have in our life, how many disappointments and struggles. Friends, everybody can reach the heights, which is what? Holiness, sanctity. It's love. Everybody can love. The simplest person can love greatly. That's why Jesus said, in the kingdom, you know, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. People who are first in this world, who are in the lights all the time and everything's going well and it's all about all their achievements and everything that they've done and all focused on that, and the world genuflects to the rich and the powerful and the famous, all that energy. The kingdom's totally different than that. You know, you see the energy of the world, it's a kind of vortex. It draws us into all that. Oh, I got to have some of that. I got to be that. And if I don't have it, I'm a nobody. And oh, I feel terrible. Right? We despair, we get discouraged. The kingdom's not like that at all. The greatest in the kingdom are those that love greatly. That's it. And Paul's telling us here that we're being given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a new power to overcome that fleshly, ego-centered, me-first approach to things, and the fear and the anxiety of not being as great as this guy, or that girl, or, you know, I'm not as beautiful as her, I'm not as rich as him, I'm not as gifted as that guy. all the stuff that can go through us, you know. My family isn't as impressive as that family. Friends, it's all about love. And then love is measured by God, not by the world. You might see somebody who looks like they may not be a great lover, but you don't know. You really don't know. That they're constantly battling, they have impatience, and they're struggling, and they have weaknesses that are manifest, and everybody can see them. That person may be dealing with greater obstacles that they were born with, and their upbringing, early upbringing of their lives. Who knows the level of struggle they're going through? And every little step toward love that that person makes causes great rejoicing in the heart of God. God measures, because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't know how much that person is fighting with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how much they're setting their mind on the Spirit and just looking for help and making incremental small steps. God loves that. Coming from the core of their being, from their heart. So friends, don't condemn yourself in little efforts you make. Don't be discouraged that you may not feel like you're where you want to be. Just keep loving each day, all the little ways, every day. The one person that's right in front of you today, love God, obey him, walk in him, respond to his prompting in the Spirit. So Paul goes on in verse 9, he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Paul believes exactly what Jesus told him. If we set our minds on all the things the world is lining up and telling us this is where the action is, it's going to lead to death. Because it doesn't put first things first. It's a form of idolatry and covetousness and things like that. We end up directing all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to secondary things and not to God. It's a disordered way of living. And that disordered way of living disintegrates us. And the deeper we get into it and we say yes to it, we literally become deranged in certain ways. Our minds become darkened. We become enslaved more and more to the work of the enemy, and it ultimately is going to lead to death. That's where he's going. He wants all our decisions, sinful decisions, and to lead ultimately to turning away from God completely and being separated from God forever and never knowing this love. He goes on to say, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This is where the first commandment leads us. Where will we find life and peace? In God alone. That's it. And it's God's gift to us. And it comes to us through the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit and living out that life. Paul goes on in verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. St. Paul says, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. The Spirit of God has been given to us to empower us to do just that. To know what pleases the Lord. And then it changes our hearts, changes your heart and mine. And it tenderizes us toward God. It softens our hearts. It subdues the ego drives within us. And it opens us up to seeing ourselves as God's children before a loving God. And it begins to set us free. And all the burden of the weight of the world that's constantly pressing us down or condemning us gets thrown off, gets lifted. Jesus said, here, take my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. Come walk with me as a child of God. Friend, that's the life we can live and we're called to live right now. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.